Okay, so we're on Daf Samachteh today. I must confess, today is the challenge. Oh, wait, I nearly forgot. Today's Daf is sponsored by Carol Learman, or Carol Libby, on the occasional Yahrzeit of her grandmother, Yenta Bat Rav Abram, on the 10th of Tevet, which is tonight and tomorrow. Okay, so learning is the Lumashama of Yenta Bat Rav Abram, Zachron Abraha. Okay, so today's very challenging Daf. Let me go back. Today's Samachteh. I just want to go back to a few lines on Samachteh. And then we'll take it down, seriatim. Okay? So the if you look on the middle of Samachet Amud Aleph, around eight lines down, page 135, do you have it, Josh? So it says, Ibai Lahu, if you have the page of the point, Josh. Last word on line is Ibaya. Samachet Amud Aleph, midway down. The first the line, the word, last word is Ibaya on the line. Do you have it? Okay. So Ibai Lahu, the question was asked in the base Medrash, Bal Megas Gai is Omiklish Kalish. So we've discussed in previous days that when you have a girl who's a Tana or a Nara, and the Tana has to be older than 11 in a day, because otherwise we're Nadarim or not Nadarim, and even 11 in a day, we said it's Nadak, and they have to check to see if she understands what Nadarim are. But if she's in that situation, or she's a Nara, which is from 12 to 12 and a half, assuming she has Simanim, so when she marries, if she's an Arusa, if she's just an Arusa, just the Arusin. So then we learned based on Psukim that the father and the groom and the husband can be made for her Nadarim. They can revoke her Nadarim. So the Gemara is trying to understand how do we understand what it means that they can revoke. In other words, they both revoke together. So each one by himself is only sort of partial revocation. How do we understand that partial revocation? We'll see in a minute. So the Ibai Lahu Baal Megas Gaius, does the husband Megas Gaius means he cuts it off. Meaning, is it like there's a cake? Is it like slicing off a cake and now half the cake is cut off? Is that what it means? O Miklish Kalish, or does it mean the whole thing becomes weaker and then the father has to, you know, finish off the deal? So the Gemara says, hey, come a Bialon, what's the case that we were bothered with and we're questioning? Let's say the girl, the woman, she made a neder that prohibits her from eating two kazesim of a food, like two olive sizes of a food. And then her arus, her husband, or, you know, it's not the full husband, but the arus, he hears about it, he revokes the neder. And then she eats both kazesim. So if we say that it's megas gaias, so it means like this, that if there were two kazesim that she had ostered on herself as a result of this neder, and now this is the husband, it's the husband and the father have to join together, but only the husband revoked the neder. So if it's a megas gaias, he's revoking the neder over one of the two kazesim. So one kazias remains prohibited, one kazias is permissible. That's what it means. We don't know which is which, but she ate both, so it's not a problem. So then she would still get malkot for violating the neder. He says, Yamina Miklash Kalish, but if I say that it's just that the husband, as a result of that, knows both kazesim remain prohibited, but the isur is weakened. It's weakened across the board. So he says, isur ba'almahu. That is, she just transgressed an isur ba'alma, so she is violating the Torah, but she's not chayav malchut. Right. Okay, that's the question the Gemara has. Oh, wait, let's just see a little run on this, and then we'll take a look where we go. So let's look at the run on the first very wide line downstairs. Ibailu Baal Megas Gaias Omiklish Kalish, Kalomar, Arus, Shinomefer, Elabashut Fute Da'av, the Arus, which is like the husband in quotation marks, who can only revoke with the participation of the father, Shinomefer Chelko Megas Gaias, when he revokes his Chelek, is a Megas Gaias means to cut it off. Kalomar, Shechte Chatsia Neder the Gamre, half the Neder is cut off, like I cut off a piece of it, Umavatlo, and the other half is in full potency. He says, "Velo iklish leklal," and not in any way weakened. Oh, miklish kalish, or perhaps when the husband revokes it, the whole thing becomes weaker. Velo nema tachto chatzia neder luatel hu palga. We don't say cut off half, beidach palga kitkai kai, and the other half is as it was. Ella b'haparat ha'arus miklish hu. The kalish like kulineder. The whole thing is like weaker. He says, "V'da'ud ba'aras," and we asked about the aras who didn't ba'ab. In other words, here the Gemara is asking if the Arus does it, but the Gemara could have asked if the father does it. It's the same question. Now, let's take a look. Let me take a look. Okay. All right. I think we're good with this. Okay, so does everybody understand what I said so far? Everybody good? Okay. So now let's turn the page now. Now, the Gemara quoted this Braisa yesterday, and the Braisa has five cases, but the resolution is going to be in the fifth case, which is the case we're going to do today. So now we'll do the fifth case, and this will hopefully, you know, help resolve the questions. Okay? So now we're on Samach Tedeman Aleph 69A, page 137, the top line. Okay? So this is the middle of a Braisa, the middle of the Braisa. So Shama Aviha, if the girl's father hears about the nether, the hafer law, and he revokes it, below his speak about the Shmoa, and before the husband could even hear about this nether, a shemate, he, the husband, dies. It was a short-lived marriage, whatever. But in other words, the woman makes a nether, her father, and they have to revoke it, they hear of it. The father hears of it, he revokes it. And then before the husband, and they need to do this together, but before the husband can even hear about it, the husband dies. So now there's no husband anymore. So he says, so now the Tana of the Braisa says, now the father can do a second hafara, and now that'll be the end of the neder. So he did. So the father did a hafara at 10 o'clock in the morning. Then at 11 o'clock, the son-in-law has a heart attack. And then at 12 o'clock, the father does a final hafara. So I'm on line three now. I'm at Rabbi Natan. Hein hein divrei Beit Shammai. So Rabbi Natan says, this ruling that we just said, that the father can now revoke the second half, that reflects the opinion of Beit Shammai. Behil omrim ein yachol hafer. Behil says no, he can't revoke it. So Shmamina, and I'll read it, and then we'll talk it out. We'll do the round, and we'll say it. Shmamina, the Beit Shammai make his guy is Behil miklus pala Shmamina. So the Gemara takes it like this, and we'll see inside the round that if the Baal left a chashuv piece, it's hard to understand. It's like conceptual thoughts, ideas. In other words, if the Baal left a chashuv piece, then the father sort of like inherits. You know, right. So the father can come and he can exercise his rights. So according to Beit Shammai, the way we understand this, each one is megas guys. So the father, he revokes it. So it's like, again, imagine like a cake or a loaf of bread. So the father is Megas Gaius, so half a loaf of bread went to the garbage, they have another half a loaf of sale, so there. Then the husband dies before he hears anything. So now that half loaf is a chashuv half a loaf, so the father can like inherit it. Like it goes back to him, and now he can revoke it with that. But if I say it's Miklash Kalish, everybody's just like weakened, so we don't think that's a chashuv piece that can go back to the father. That's the way the Gemara is. So again, so this, we'll do the round in a minute, and then we'll repeat. Okay, just this will hold off with the questions for a minute. Okay, so according to Beit Shammai, the father now can revoke the whole neder. So he revokes it at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock the son-in-law dies, and then at 12 o'clock the father makes another revocation. That's the end of the neder. That's according to Beit Shammai. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. That's according to Beit Shammai. So we think the Beit Shammai holds Megas Gaius that is cut into like two halves. So first he revoked one half, and then the other half is a chashuv piece. Then he gets the second half, he revokes it. But according to Beit Hillel, she's up a creek. He can't revoke it. And we think, according to Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel holds miklash kalish. It's like each one just sort of like reduces it, but it's not enough to go over. Let me just do a little run, and then we'll take questions, and then we'll see where we go. Okay? So let's look. Listen. Okay, so the top run. So Shema Avi Behefer Lab was speak about the Shmoan, Shmei Choser Av Mefer Chalko Shval. Haide Katani Choser. So the Ron is focusing on the word Choser. He goes back. Lo Shet Zor LaHafer Mashe Verkbar. It doesn't mean he goes back and revokes the part that he had already previously revoked at 10 o'clock. Dainu Chalko Shalav. Elahaki Tani Choser. He says Choser goes back. Mishum Shikvar Hefer Chalko. In other words, he did his Chalek, and now he's going to do like the other chaylik, that's what he means. But Achshav Choser Mefer Chalko Shabal. Now he's doing the half that belongs to the son-in-law. But Bahaki Sagi, and that's adequate. The Einstrich Shazor Vyafer Chalik Atzmo doesn't have to go back and revoke the half that he did for himself already. From the cave of the Eulomate, he's not dead, he's alive. Apogav Dmitle Baal, Lobatha Hafara Da'ab. So his Hafara is still there, and now he's going to do a different hafara. All right, now let's see the next piece of Ram. Everybody,
question here.
All right, go ahead. Oh, okay. Let's wait till one more round. Okay, let's hold up one more round. Okay, now the fourth narrow line. I'm Rabbi Nathan. Hin debrei Beit Shammai. So Rabbi Nathan says this reflects Beit Shammai. So the Kasavri, Yechol ha'av la'hafer b'chi ha'gavna. They hold that the father can revoke under these circumstances. Uva ha'farat al kosha babel put sagi mishum de ha'far da'av kinek lomet lo ipfalalei. His say like didn't come back now. In other words, even if he goes back and he does everything from scratch, and now the Gemara explains the reason for that. According to Beit Shammai, when the father did initially, he only revoked his half. We're around the fifth narrow line above where it gets wide in the Ran on Samachet and Aleph. 69a, okay? He says, "B'chelek habal lo nigra klal." Part of the husband wasn't in any way, is not in any way diminished. Yes, Yaakov? Yeah, that's my answer, Sashin. So maybe somewhere else. Okay, anywhere else in the basement is good. Fern's a lovely one, but I'd like to leave the chelek, that's the chelek Sashin. No, everybody's good. Okay, now. He says, "B'chelek habal lo nigra klal, ela adayin hu pam l'gamre, b'chashav hu." In other words, it's like chashuv, so he can like bequeath it to the father. But according to Hillel, when the father revokes it, so everything got weakened. It's not chashuv enough in some way to give it over to the father. It came into Av, since the father is still around, his afar didn't go anywhere. And the nether is with its weakness. And so since it's so weak, the father can't revoke it. Now the Ron ends another little nikuda. She's an active young woman, but she went through everything with one husband. Now that got terminated because he's dead. Let's say that day she goes through everything, and that day she's married to somebody else. He says, "Honey, me lebishlon it's arsla acher." Problem is arsla acher, but if she marries somebody else, bo bayom avu bala akrom nefina deran. Now she needs both of them to the tani lekaman kmodesh lebereshalad that he b'siat shmayim. Now the Ran says, "Hadenu perush dai shmay to the son kadaitin levei." That's the pshat in his gemara, and I have confidence in it. He says, "Bechazil rabbanim tuva mili delon hiri." I saw a lot of other pshatim. I don't like them. He says, "Velo beriri lan." I didn't even think to write it down because let me just summarize again. Then we'll take wait. I'll summarize again. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, and just review again for Shai. Now Shai did the whole daf already this morning. Okay, so again we said that there's a shidduch between the father and the husband when she's a nara humurasa. Yaakov, you with me on this? Okay, so she goes through erusin. So the father and the husband get together and they revoke the neder. So the Gemara has a question. What, how do I understand that revocation? Is it megas gaias? Is it each one does half? So in other words, like think of a loaf of bread. Is it each one, like I cut the loaf of bread in half. Now the father has disposed of one half and the other half of the loaf of bread is there. And is that the way it works? Or is it miklash kalish? Or is it each one like sort of like waters it down? The whole thing gets watered down a little bit. That's the question. So the Gemara says, an afkamina, the Gemara said, would be if she made a neder that would involve her not eating two kizesim of food, and then the father revokes the neder, and then the husband does not revoke the neder. He says that not in retraining the shmav of hebrula, and or the arus revokes it, not the father, and then she eats it. So if I say it's megas gaias, she's chayav malkot. In other words, so the neder is released vis-a-vis one kizayas, but one kizayas is in full potency, and she'll get malkot. But if I say miklash kalish, then she does an isur, but she doesn't get malchus. Okay, that's the nafkamina. So the Gemara quoted a brisa, and the Gemara quoted five cases in the brisa. Yoshi, Josh, you're still with us? I don't know if you're thinking or falling asleep, but we'll do the thing. Okay, so it says, Shama Aviha, so we had the case, the father hears about the neder, he revokes it. And then before the husband can even hear of the neder, he dies. It's Shurban Gevurin. So then, now at that point, so according to the Tana, the Braisa, the father now can revoke the second half of the neder. And then Rabbi Natan says that reflects the view of Beit Shammai. But Beit Hillel holds that he can't revoke the second half. So the Ran explains that if it's a chash of pizza that's left over, which is the Beit Shammai holds many gizgayas, that he left a half a loaf of bread. So the chash of peace, the father can still revoke it. But if it's like a miklash kalish, that's not a chash of enough for him to inherit the rice, and he can't revoke it. Okay, now questions come to us. Okay, Fern, you're very patient. What's up?
I don't think the
Ran changed.
I think Beit Shammai
is telling the same. Oh, wait, that's the same. So let's see. So Beit Shammai says. Okay, wait. There's always different ways of analyzing each situation. Okay, let's take a look. Now, according to Beit Shammai, he's 100% correct. According to Beit Shammai, if it's Megan's guy is, and then we stop at that point in time, and then she eats the food, she gets Malko.
No, but I'm talking about
the situation. Yeah, but I'm saying the different aspect, the same situation. In other words,
he
drops dead, but let's say at that point in time, let's say she eats both the things. All right. So, on this specific past pattern, on this, but in other words, Beit Shammai holds Megan's guidance. That's what Beit Shammai holds. So Yosef's right. That may, in terms of ultimate replication, but it could easily be a chumrah. She could easily, but in here it works out a kula. All right. What?
Doesn't it?
Wait.
That Beit Shammai is giving the father to go for that other half of it. In other words, what Sukkim are saying, and if this guy dies,
no. It means like this, that, you know, let's say the woman would not have been married at all. So the father would have full plenipotentiary rights to revoke the neder.
She was,
and now he's dead. So, like, Beit Shammai is saying, under these circumstances, but when he's dead, there's like a neder that's in play. So the way Beit Shammai analyzes, it's just up to Svara, he's saying, what Beit Shammai said. I don't think there's any psukim, it's Megan's guy. Is okay. What I said, now, wait, Aaron Moshe in the cyber world and Josh here in the world.
I understand both the Beit Hillel and the Beit Shammai, but what happens if the nether is such a nether that that falls away when the husband dies?
What do you mean?
She makes a nether, I won't eat any of my husband's food.
Then that seems like it would be moot. That seems like
then it would
moot,
be the case and Beit Shammai.
I mean, right. That's what we've had in the Dharma when the person dead. Then that seems like moot. Okay, wait, Josh, what do you want to say?
So, that the guy dies just takes the place of the son.
Right, of son-in-law. Right. In other words, the father, when she's in his rishus. So he has the full right to revoke her nedarim. So if she's a Nara, he's got the full right to revoke her nedarim. But when she marries, they're sharing rishus together.
So father goes through its afterlife.
Right.
Then the son-in-law is supposed to...
Before he even hears about the neder, he drops dead.
Right. And so now does it go back?
Right, that's the way Beit Shammai, that's what Beit Shammai is saying, that the other half goes back to the father. Yeah, and now who revoked that? Okay, I'm going to move on unless any more questions. What's up, Yosef? Yeah. So the Ron is bothered by the idea, like, in other words, like, he's sort of like, you know, there's even more here with this, in other words, we're saying that everything goes back to the father, but the Ran is anticipating, what if she gets married that day? Then now she has another arus to take. You know? Yeah. So then that changes the whole. Then the father, you know, is not the sole balim anymore. That's what he's getting at. Okay. Now let's come on. Wait. We got to move on. I am so sorry. I thought we had lots of time, and I see that even with this, a lot of time with a few lines, we are running out of time. So let me just go further, and then we'll try to go further. Okay. Now. On line 5, everybody with me? Okay, so by Rava, yesh she'ela b'hekem or ain she'ela b'hekem. Now Rava's asking, when a woman, she makes the neder, so then her father or her husband And it doesn't have to be the Arus even. It could be it's a woman, she could be just in the father's house, or she just be totally in the husband's house after Nisuin. But they each, when they hear the Neder, they can either be Mayfair it, they could revoke it, or they could confirm it, or they could confirm it. So the Gemara is asking, can you kind of redo it? Can you take out your pencil eraser and undo what you would, sort of like you made like some election of remedies? Can you change your mind? So at 9 o'clock, let's say the father, right, we had Sun Shabbos, right, by Rabbi Yesha Eleva Hekim. Hekim is where the father or the husband sustains it. So can he change his mind and go to a Chacham and undo the Hakama and then do a Hafare afterwards? Oh, Ein Shei Eleva Hekim. Or is that out of the ballpark? Then the Gemara says, in Timsa Lomar, and we know what's the Klal according to Rabbi, when it says in Timsa Lomar, it means the first way is the Halacha. And Tim Salomar Yeshaila Behakim, if we say there is a She'ela Behakim, in Akhinami you could undo the Hakama, Yeshaila Behefer or Ain She'ela Behefer. What about the Hafara? What if he revokes the Neder and his regrets having revoked the Neder, and now he wants to undo the revocation? Can he undo the revocation? Now, what would be the Shadda with undoing the revocation? So we'll see in the Ran, the way the Ran takes it, if I do a hakama, in other words, you want to say it's like a neder. Where do we see she'ela? By nedarim. The person makes a neder. Then you can have a she'ela. You go to a chacham, and you can be matir the neder. That's where we have it. That's what we're talking about. So hakama is sort of similar to making a neder, right? In other words, hakama, like confirming a neder. I'm confirming the restriction. So it makes sense that just like by neder, I could have a she'ela. By hakama, I could also have a she'ela. But by hafara, that seems like a totally different idea. Hafara is a revocation. We don't see anywhere halakha would I have that. But the Ran is going to say there's a hekesh between she'el and hakama. That's one way to understand it. Or way number two, which they had in the Masechta Gemara, was to say that by hakama, I'm sustaining the neder, so then I want to undo it. So I understand, I undo it. By hafara, once I do hafara, the neder is revoked. It doesn't exist anymore. How can I undo it? In other words, I already pressed the delete button on my computer. So it's gone. How do I have tis hamesim with something which got deleted? That's the other way to look at it. Okay, now, wait. Let's look at the Ron. You know, I see this is taking so much longer than I thought. I tell you, I can't get over this. All right, let's take a look. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. On line 5, the fifth wide line in the Ron on Samach Ted Amar Aleph. Everybody have the place? Boy, Rob is right. And Yaakov, you have the place? Josh, you have the place? Bern, Yosef? Okay. So by Rabba, now we have, there's a question, is it Rabba or Rabba? An argument of Rabba, except Rabba. By Rabba, Yeshayla Behekim, in Kiyama Neder, if he sustained the Neder, Benishal Bo by Yom Al Hekim, and then that same day, he has the Sheila, he wants to undo the Hakama. Mimati Mefer Bo by Yom, Olo, can he then revoke, in other words, I change my mind. I don't want a hakama. I want to be made for it. Can I change? But it has to be that day. Avalamachar, according to the Ran, Avalamachar, Shitulamati Mayfair, Vilogara Mishtika. In other words, he can't, it's got to be that day because your rights are just that day. So everything's taken from that day. Now, but Imtim Saloma Yeshayla Behekim, if you assume that there could be a Shayla Behekim, Yeshayla Behefer, can I do it the other way around? If I revoke it, is there a Shayla with that? Oh, Ain Shayla. So here again, the Ran is like the pathfinder. He's like holding the torch for us, the light. He says, "Near be'enai, the avodah de beheper lo shayf she'ela." Even though the concept of she'ela beheper doesn't seem to make sense by revocation, the b'shlema hekeim kei nidru. So he says, by hekeim, that's like similar to a neder. She made the neder. He does hakama, but that's like he's like sustaining the neder. He says, "About hafara lo," but hafara is something. It's like a horse of a different color. He says, "A people happy in the Bialon, ye shela beheper, mishum the hafera kama itrishla dadi." The reason the Ron says that the Gemara connects the two is because they're connected. The hekesh, hekesh is when you have both mentioned the same pasuk. Uptimin lakaman, like the Gemara is going to explain later on, that by and above, which is one week from tonight, on Ayin Bav days, shani hakadamakra, yishai timenu, yishai feiranu. So the pasuk says, Isha with a mapikay. Her husband can sustain it, or her husband can revoke it. That's the pasuk. So mentions hakama and hafara in the same pasuk. Et shabalakal hekim, balakal hefer. If it's type of neder subject to hakama, is subject to hefer. Lo balach lahekim, lo balach lahefer. Mishum hachi bai, and therefore the Gemara asks, im tisalomar yeshe'ela behekim behefer mahu. Mi amrina nehito shayach beyeshe'ela, do we say, even though, like, left to my own devices, I would say there's no shayachus for she'ela behefer. He says, afilu hachi amrina deyeshe'ela, do I say there is she'ela? Why? The kushi itpush, they're connected. A hekesh is one of the midot. In other words, they're connected. He says, what's true by one is true by the other, is what I say. Odilma, the milk to the hafara, the chazile, lo itkash. Or maybe I won't apply the hekesh to something that has no application to it at all. Umaskinan, Rav Yochanan, glini shele lo itkash. So the word is going to conclude in a few lines from Rav Yochanan that the hekesh does not apply to the shele. Let me just do a few more lines, then we'll summarize, and we'll take some questions. Okay, let's get back on the Gemara. So again, in the Gemara, let me read again on line 5. By Rabbi, Yeshela Behekim, Oin Shela Behekim. Is there a Shela by Hakama or not? In Tisloma, Yeshela Behekim, Yeshela Behefer, Oin Shela Behefer. And assuming there is Shela by Hekim, is there Shela by Hefer? So Tashma, the Amr of Yochanan, Nishalana Hekim, and Nishalana Hefer. So we have the same in Rabbi Yochanan. This is Mefurash. You can have a Shela and Hekim. So Shela, Hekim is subject to Shela, but Hefer is not subject to it. So we're not going to apply the Hekesh here. He wants to say, like, if something is like, right, if there's no shaitis whatsoever, I'm not gonna apply it that way. Now, let me just do a few lines from my sheet, then we'll do what.
In other words, the
neder
is there. What am I bringing to the party
by
doing
that? Well, or her husband, that you know, that's I think dearest, you're stuck with this neder. like stop lying. No. In other words, till the end of the day, the father can revoke it, or he can even time it, or he can be silent. But I'm saying, like, let's say she likes making the dharma. She figures that her husband is going to bail her out, or her father's going to bail her out. So he says, I don't want to stop the whining. He's making it. Okay, now. Okay, now. The Torah limits the husband's right from hafara to Yom Shamo, the day he learns the neder. If upon hearing about his wife's neder, the husband expresses his approval or remains silent until sundown, the neder is mekuyam, validated, and can no longer be nullified by the husband. Halach follows Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there is a method by which a husband can be mefer, nullify his wife's neder, it should be revoked, his wife's neder, even after he performed hakama. If he regrets the hakama, he can be shoel on the hekem, appeal to a chacham to nullify his approval, and just as a chacham can null a person's neder, with the petach and charata, you can also know one's hakama. After a chachama knows the hakama, it's once again possible for the husband to perform hafara. Okay, you know, I tell you, you got to know all your rights and dinim with these halakot here. Now, the Ran asserts that this halakha is relevant only if the husband was shoel on the hekem on the day he learned the neder. So according to the Ran, everything has to take, just like your rights to be mefer or be mekim take place that day, the clock is running on your, you know, your ability to be shoel the chacham. Everything has to take place that day. If, however, the husband learned of his wife's neder and gave his approval on Sunday, for example, and on Monday he appealed to a chacham to nullify his hakama, he can no longer perform hafara because the one-day limitation given for our partner darim expired by sundown on Sunday. So according to the Ran, everything runs out. Now, the tour disagrees and maintains that even if the husband did not have his hakama nullified by chacham until Monday, he can slip from hafara on his wife's neder until the end of Monday. So according to the tour, he can sort of, like, get a little more time out of this. The Torah points out that the Chachamim in the Mishnah on Pei Zion assert that the one-day limitation for hafara applies only if the husband is aware of his ability from hafara and nevertheless remains silent. So if I know my rights, then I'm limited to one day. If I don't know my rights, I wasn't aware of this. However, if an unlearned man hears about his wife's neder on Sunday, but does not learn of his biblically given right to hafara until Monday, then Monday is considered Yom Shema, and he has the right to be for all day Monday. The Torah thus argues that in this case too, where the husband was not able to perform hafara on Sunday because he endorsed that he was mekayim neder, the one-day limitation does not go into effect until his hakam is nullified by chacham. Therefore, the Torah rules that he can perform hafara on Monday after the chacham nullified his hakam. In other words, he's thinking he's saying I have no more rights, and then he discovers on Monday. Let me see what does the Torah say? He wants to say that this case is similar to it. In other words, just like a person doesn't know his rights, the time's extended, if the person's rights were blocked because he didn't go to the Chacham, his rights get extended according to the tour, but according to the Ran, not. That's what's coming out. Okay, any questions, comments?
Something,
that's the way it's sounding like. In other words, if anyway, okay, now, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's move on. Everybody good? Okay, now, this was the easy, one more easy thing, then with the tough part. Okay, now, five lines from the bottom on Pesamach Ted Amad Aleph. By Rabba, Kim Lichi, the Nishal HaKam Rishon Amahu. So Rabba asks, let's say the husband, he says he's Mekayim the Neder, and then he says he's Mekayim the Neder. Now, the second Kiyum is a nullity because he was already Mekayim the Neder. But then he goes to a Chacham, confirms on his. Let's make it a little clearer. Let's say at 9 o'clock he's Mekayim the Neder. And then, I don't know, the wife keeps talking to him and chiming, what did you do? He says, listen, then at 10 o'clock he's Mekayim the Neder again. So the second Kiyum is a nullity because he's already Mekayim at 9 o'clock. Then he goes to a Chacham to vacate his 9 o'clock Kiyum of the Neder. Now, does the 10 o'clock Kiyum spring to life now? That's the question. Everybody got it or not? Yes or no? Okay, let's see what back in the Gemara. So, by Rabbi, Kim Lichi, Kim Lichi, B'Shal HaKam Rishon Amahu. So, Tashema, the Amar Rava, Im Nishal HaRishona, Shniya Chal Alav. So this is, let me see what the case was again with this. So right, this is the case. Is he makes a shua twice, shua shlo ochal, shua shlo afal, and then so shua can't be chal on another shua. In other words, he makes a shua, he's not going to eat, I don't know, this olive, and he makes another shua, he's not going to eat the olive. So the second shua is a nullity because the shua can't be chal on a shua. But then he goes to a chacham to vacate the first shua. The second shua is chal, so he wants to say that in the same way that the second shua is chal, once I vacate the first shua, so it's, yeah. It was just making a sushtel between making, like we saw before in the Ran, between the darim and hakama. In other words, that hakama is like similar to a netter, just like it were here, it's like similar to a shua. So if I have a shua and then I have another shua and that they're identical, the second shua is not chal. But I vacate the first shua, the second shua is chal. So the same thing here, he's got a hakama, another hakama. So the first, second hakama is not chal, but when he vacates the first one, it is chal. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let me just do the Ran. Then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, look, 10 lines above from the bottom line. By Rabba, everybody with me? Okay. By Rabba, Kim Lichi, but Shalak Kamri Shonamahu, Mi Amrinan, Kaven Divi, Dana Da Apik, Kamashnimi Pume, Lochaila. Do I say that when the time he pronounced the second Akama, it wasn't Chal, it wasn't effective? True Lochaila. It's like dead on arrival, it's not going to have to Chiesa Mason. Odilma, or maybe even though at that moment it's not chal, that's because the first hakama was around. The first hakama doesn't let the second hakama take effect. About kiichal kamaita, but now when he does the shayla concerning the first kiyum, mashkecha batraita rabka b'chayla. So now the second one finds makam to be chal. So tashma damarav nishal rishon shni chalav. So again, we went over this. So he makes two shvuas that he's not going to eat something. He says, and then he asks on the first shvua, the second shvua is chal. Okay, so everybody got it? So that's that case. So again, so if he does hakama, two hakamas, and then he has shel on the first hakama, which we said according to Rabbi Yochanan you could do, so the second hakama chal, the Gemara says it is. Okay, whose questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Everybody good? Okay, now, this is the difficult part really coming up. This was the easy part we did up to now. This next piece of Gemara. Actually, I worked hours on this topic. This was, I opened the door in the morning. I thought, it's been 20 hours. I'll be done. What am I going to do with myself the whole day? This thing took so much time. Okay, let's take a look back at the Gemara now. Now, the Gemara says two lines at the bottom. Okay, now by Rabba, Kim Lichi, Umufer Lichi, Botichel Hakamam Kin Chala HaFaramahu. Now, a husband or a father says to the daughter or the wife, I'm Makayim this Neder and I'm revoking the Neder, but the Hakama won't be Chal unless the Hafara is Chal. This is really a whole difficult piece. Now, I was listening to Rav Leibowitz today online. he was saying if he would have stopped and said kim lichi mufer lichi, we would have said that just the first thing. In other words, the two statements are obviously in opposition to each other. And it was, see, a mekayimit, a mefer, those two don't go together. You're either mekayimit or you're meferit. But if he would have just said a mekayimit and a meferit, we would have said he's mekayimit, and then gemarnu. And then the second thing we would have you know, disposed of and ignored it. But now he's saying a mekayimit and a meferit, but I don't want the hakama to be effective unless the hafar is effective. And that's what he's saying. Now, how do we understand this statement? And it's not easy, but let me just say this outside, and we'll do selectively in the Ran inside. So one way to view this would be that the hafara begins first and then the hakama afterwards. But if the hafara begins first, then the hakama cannot begin afterwards. You're right. So in other words, if the hafara is effective, so then they can't be hakam anymore. It's like the patient's dead already. We can't resuscitate him anymore. It's like a dead on arrival. It's sad to think of it that way, but that's what is coming around. So it can't be that way. That would be a dead letter. And if the hafara is not effective, the hakama is certainly not effective, because he says the hakama is not going to be effective unless the hafara was effective. So by his own statement, the hafara has to be effective. So either way, it can't be that I would have hafara and then hakama. That's dead letter. Then the Ran takes it, and again, here the Ran says, I think there are other pshatim, he's doing the pshat. In other words, the Ran is the one who's, you know, the Mora Derek with these Gemaras. Then he says, the other possibility, even though he says, I'm making it and then I'm doing hafara, but I don't want the hakama to be talus, the hafara is tal, it means he wants the hakama to be first and then the hafara. Even though he has that tanai in the middle, since he mentions the hakama first, he wants the hakama to be first and then the hafara. But that also would not work. Now, the third possibility, he wants them both to be chal simultaneously. But at the end of the day, the hafara is more important to him. That's the way the Ran takes it, because he said, Kala hafara. So as between both of them, the hafara is the more important of the two elements. All right, let me read the next few lines of the Gemara, then we'll get through them as best we can, and then we'll take it. Right, it's not the clearest statement. So by Rabbi Kim Lichi Muper Lichi, so I'm a Kaimit for you, and I'm a Mefer for you, below Techel Kamal Kin Kala hafara. And the hakama shouldn't be a chal unless the hafara does. Mahu. So tashma on Amud Beis. Okay, now there's a famous machloket, which Dafyomi people, I'm sure, will quote from the second Tamura, but it comes out periodically in Shas. He says, tashma mi plukta the remei of Rabbi Yossi. From the machloket between remei and Rabbi Yossi, ditnan, harezu tmur ola tmur shlamim, harezu tmur ola the remei. Now, again, in the Torah, let's say you have a korban, and you want to replace the animal. I have animal A, a sheep, and that's an ola. And I decide I don't want animal A to be the ola. I want animal C to be the ola. I'll say C first. So I say, you know, C should be instead of A. So I'm transgressing a law by doing that. And if I do that, they both, like Yosef knows already, that they both have kedusha. I didn't accomplish anything, and they both have the kedusha and ola. Now, let's say I have three animals. Animal A is the ola. The sheep is an ola. Animal B, the sheep is a shlamim. And animal C is a chulin animal. And I take animal C and I put it near animal A and B, and I say concerning C, harezu tmur ola tmur shlamim. Animal C is tmur ola tmur shlamim. So there's two possibilities. Either I intend it to be an ola and a shlamim. Maybe that's what I intend. And so that's one way to look at it. Or I'm saying I want it to be a tour of an ola, and then I'm changing my mind. I want it to be a tour of a shlamim. Okay, so let's say. So we'll see this in a little bit. Let's go into the Mishnah again. Ditnan, we learn the Mishnah. Harezu tour of ola tour of shlamim. Harezu tour of ola de Rameir. So according to Rameir, we're going to give efficacy to the tfos lashon rishon. Right, tfos lashon rishon. We're going to say the first statement is one that's the operative statement, and it's tour of an ola. Rabbi Yossi says, if from the get-go he had kavanah to say ola and slamim, he wants to be a tour of an ola and a shlamim. What does it mean tour of an ola shlamim? It means that we'll let the animal graze, he'll get some mum, then we'll sell the animal, and then with the proceeds, we'll divide it between the ola and the shlamim. So he says, You can't say both statements, both elements at once. Yeah, so Dvar of Kayamim. Okay, so it's effective. Now, so we think like this. According to... according to Reb Meir, let's do Reb Yossi first. So Reb Yossi says, we're going to give full force and effect to both terms. Now, if we plug that into our sugi here, here he says, I'm making your neder, and then I'm mayfair your neder, but the hakama is dependent on the hafara. So we want to give full force and effect to both terms, but it's impossible to give full, in other words, by the tour we could give full force and effect to both terms, because there's a way to kind of like, you know, to thread the needle. But here, by the hakama and the hafara, we can't give full force and to both, but the one that we think is more important to him is the hafara. So that's the one that he seems to think is more important. So we're going to give full force and effect to the hafara. That's the way that Reb Yossi will touch up the sugya. That's the way applying Reb Yossi will come it that way. Then the Gemara wants to say, but even according to Reb Meir, who says tfos l'shon rishon, Meir says we're going to go after the first term. Let's see back in the Gemara. This is Batul Reb Meir. Reb Meir says we're going to take the first term. He didn't make the statement, this should only be if that takes place, and he doesn't have all that verbiage over there. So in this case, we think even Reb Meir will agree that the hafara will take place. In other words, Reb Meir says normally we're going to take the first term, but in this case, but in that case, he didn't say, but you know, there's no language, I only want this if that will take place first, but if he spells that out, we think the mayor will agree the hafar as well. Okay, now let's just do a little bit of point. Look at this. Okay, let me just do a little bit with this Ron, and then we'll take a look where we will go with this. Okay. We're applying their opinions. We think that applying their opinions over by Tamura, we are gonna arrive at the conclusion that Hafara is gonna win the day. Okay, now wait. Let's just look for a minute, okay? Now okay, if you look in the Ran, five lines above the very wide lines, near the two dots, Supashtinala, everybody have it? If you look, there's narrow lines, medium wide lines, and very wide lines. Five lines above the very wide lines, it says with the two dots, Supashtinala. Josh, do you have it? Okay. Upashtin, I assume you do Fern and Ed also, right? Right? Okay. Upashtinala, me plug to remain Rabbi Yossi, Yifligu. So the Gemara resolves it based on a comparison of this machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah over there, Arezu Tmur Ola Tmur Shlamim, Arezu Tmur Ola Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Meir Bechule. Bimina Labik Bara Hatam, we say over there in the Gemara, that Kol Modim, everyone agrees, the Baomer Tachulzu Vacharka Tachulzu, Dirikul Tfos Lashon Rishon. So if he says, I want this to take place, and then this to take place, everybody agrees to us, Lashon Rishon. We're going after the first term. He says, so everybody agrees on that. So if he spells out, he says, I want A and B, but I want B to take place after A takes place, everybody agrees only A, because you can't have B under those circumstances. Then conversely, everybody agrees, the second wide line, if I say I only want this to take place, if this one takes place, then both are effective. It is possible that they can both take place simultaneously. The tira behema zu watch to stay. The behema will be left grazing until it gets a mum. And then with the proceeds, you'll use half the, you'll be part of the animal, and then with the half the proceeds for ola, half for shlamim. Lo neklaku elaba omer tmur ola tmur shlamim. Machlok it is, he says sort of ambiguous statement. Tmur ola tmur shlamim. I don't know if he means let everything begin simultaneously or begin one thing and then another thing. Rabbi Meir Savar, midahavala the mayor tmur ola ushlamim. So Meir holds, he wanted it to be a tmur of both of them. He should have said tmur ola ushlamim. That was the way it should be. Tmur ola ushlamim. Lo amar tmur ola tmur shlamim. So Meir says, as if he's saying, doesn't say in so many words, as if he's saying, let this occur and then let that occur. That being the case, he's just giving supposed to show me show. We're going after the first lashon. We can't do that. Rabbi Yossi Savar, the Efshar Demai to come at 200 Ola, 200 Shlamim, Toy. Rabbi Yossi says, no. He's just making a mistake. The Savar, Ilo Amina Tumura, Kochabacha, Lokaila Tumura Tarbayu. He thinks if I don't say the word Tumura in each one, if I say Tumura Ola Shlamim, it's not Chal. I want it to be Chal. Hilkach, Bokinoto, therefore we examine him, the person who made the designation. Imamar Lo Ola Shlamim Kabanti, I meant both. Tirach stay, but Timacher, Bitu Chasitamav Lola, Chasitamav Shlamim. Ama Plutaihu, Dremeir, Rabbi Yossi, Talib Motzi Shnei Shemim Kiv. So the issue is, I say two things, you know, Yimrinan Shechul Hasheni Achar Rishon, so he says the second one is Chalei after the first, or Shechul Shnei Barachat. Ho will be Yafshar, with Grosh Shnei Shema Ka'achat. If Shema Hachim Rila, Rabbi Yossi Badai, Ifshit Bayan. So according to Rabbi Yossi, our problem is resolved here in our Gemara in the second Nedarim. The Chiyamar Mufar Lichi, Lapatar Hakama Ka'amar, he doesn't mean that it takes place after the Hakama, El Varachat, it means simultaneously. In other words, they can't both be chal. So it's between both of them, we're going to give full force and effect to the hafara. Anyway, but I think you get the idea with this. And well, yeah, but
could you repeat the question?
Okay, Fern is saying that since we learned from the Gemara, it's better not to make the Darim. It doesn't make sense that Hafara we're giving priority to. We're concerned with the intent of the person, not with that's the issue. Okay, I got to move on. We're running out of time. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, let's move on. Now, all right, now let's take a look. Okay, we're now with Tabai Rabba. Okay, five lines from the bottom on Samach Ten Amud Beis. Everybody with me? Okay, Tabai Rabba. Now, one way to understand this is he doesn't say kiyam lichi mufar lichi. He says kiyam mufar. If he said kiyam lichi, that would be a separate statement, right? It's similar to what we saw before with the tamura. You know, tamura olam shlamin kiyam mufar lichi. And here, one way to understand it, b'vad achat, the Gemara is saying b'vad achat. In other words, he just says the husband or the father just says kiyam mufar lichi. It's sustained and revoked for you, and but barachat mahu. So what's the halakha in that case? Now, so kiyam by itself, in other words, if it just kiyam by itself means nothing, so it's got to be lichi. So let's take a look. So he says tashma dama rabba. So the issue is, will I give primacy to one? They both can't take place, right? They both can't take place. So do I give primacy? One second. Okay. Is he saying that both should take place simultaneously? Is that what he's saying? He says, right. So it might mean that the kiyum should take place before the hafara. In other words, it might be the kiyum and then the hafara might be what he means. It's similar to what we had before. We'll both take place simultaneously. That's what he's saying. So let's take a look back. Right. That's what it sounds like. So let's say, look. So kiyum mufar lichi b'barachat mahu. Tashma dabaraba kodavar she'enu b'zeh harzeh afil barachat eno. So Rabbah has a halacha that anything that I can't do subsequent, like in order, that I can't do even simultaneously. Meaning like this. So the Gemara case is like this. Let's say I'm a Kaddish two sisters simultaneously. How do I make Kaddish two sisters simultaneously? Let's say I have, you know, Rachel and Leah, and Rachel and Leah both designate Yaakov to be the Shliach with Kabbalah. He's the agent to be Makabel by Kedusha. And then they're both standing there, and I go to Yaakov, and I say, here's the Kesef Kedushin for both of them, like two prutot. I say, you're both Mekudeshah to me. You know, so at the same time, can I make Kaddish two sisters at the same time? So the Gemara says, Kol She'enu B'zeh Achar Zeh, if I can't do one and then another, which I cannot do Rachel and then Leah, I can't do it simultaneously. So he says here also that I can't do with these two terms, I can't do Zeh Achar Zeh. I can't do Kiyum and I can't do Hafara. So it doesn't take place simultaneously. So it sounds like we're assuming that he meant it simultaneously, but it does not, we're not going to, nothing will take effect. That's the way it sounds like. Nothing will take effect. One second. Now, okay. He says, he says the same applies before in the present case. This is in footnote 10, where the law is that the act of confirmation includes subsequent revocation. Conversely, an amplification includes subsequent confirmation. Since they cannot take effect successively, neither takes effect when they are done simultaneously. Thus, the vow is neither confirmed nor revoked. All right, that's the way he says. Okay. Say again, once he does hakama, so then that's the end of the, that's the end of the road. That's the end of the road. Okay, now, let me just... Yeah, but the hakama is like locking it in, like confirming. That's it. Okay, all right. Okay, welcome. David, why don't you take the Gemara and the joint off? You'll meet for one line. Okay, I have the Gemara over here. Come, you have it? Okay, you have it on the phone? Okay, so we're on Samach 10 of the days. Okay, and this will start us for the next question for the sugi for tomorrow. Okay, three lines from the bottom. My Rob, you know, I can't get over. Look how I thought I would. It went through my mind I thought for sure. I imagined that we'd be here, finished at 8:30. And how am I going to keep everybody? And everybody's going to be running to the door. Okay, so by Rabba, kim lichi ayom mahu. Now, what if I say this neder is mekuyim today? In other words, he's the husband or the father. Because the neder is mekuyim for today. Mahu miyamin and kamada amar la mufer lichi lematar. Do we say if I say it's mekuyim for today, am I not saying in essence, and then tomorrow it's revoked? In other words, I don't say those words, but is that the implication? Odilma haluamarla, or maybe he never said that. All right, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the last line in the run. He says, listen to me. He says, mufar lichi. He says, I'm sorry, his kiyam lichi ayom. This neder is mekuyim for today. For today, it's mekuyim. The implication being for something else, so tomorrow something else is doing. Well, we're going to see. We'll see. That's a pressure. Let's take a look. Let's look at the last line in the Ran. He says, "By Rabba Kim Lichayom Mahu Miyaminin Kamadam Amufi Lichel Makar the Hachi Kamar Kim Lichayom Bilvad." It's McQueen for today alone. O Dilma Hello Amar La Amufi Lichel Makar. Maybe I say he never said anything about the Hafara tomorrow. He says, all right, so that'll be to start us off for tomorrow. Okay, now, let me see if I have any. Yeah, that's true, but here he's setting a time limit on what he's saying. The person could set a time limit on. He's saying it's just between for today. That's all I'm saying. And then by act of law, tomorrow it's going to be Hafara. But that's the way he's exercising his shot. You got to know all your rights. Okay. So I think that's going to be okay. Nice having everybody. Let me end the recording. 1 second. Oh yeah, yeah. So again, thank you. Okay, the learning tonight was sponsored by Carol Learman Libby on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her grandmother Yentabat Reb Avraham Zechron Lebracha. Okay.